News Team Coverage, 94.9 WSJM News Now.
Brought to you by Comfort Keepers of Southwest Michigan, serving Berrien, Cass, and Van Buren counties. Compatible, compassionate, comfortable care at home. In the newsroom, I'm Andrew Green. The Berrien County Board of Commissioners has declared a local state of emergency due to the flooding this week. Berrien County Sheriff Department Chief Deputy Robert Boyce tells us the declaration is the first step in getting either state or federal aid to clean up. The move enables the county to pursue assistance from the state when it comes to the recovery.
It'll be up to the governor to decide if he wants to send us resources to assist in our recovery, or he may also declare a state of emergency for the state and forward it on to the federal authorities. A lot will be based on how many other counties and municipalities in the state were affected.
The city of Niles has also declared a state of emergency. It tells us the initial assessment shows 46 homes and 9 commercial structures have suffered significant damage in Niles. On Monday, city and county staff will begin a property loss assessment in that community. The U.S. Coast Guard continuing to be ready to assist local first responders if they need to evacuate anyone else from flooded areas. However, another big focus now is the road ahead. Coast Guard Petty Officer Lazaro Lopez from the St. Joe Coast Guard Station tells us local waterways will be affected by this flooding for months to come.
I believe the next step will be to evaluate the river, see for damage. There is a lot of debris flowing down the St. Joseph River. So as we move into getting ready for the boating season, we want to caution everyone to be careful with the, we call them deadheads. A deadhead, it can be an object that is majority submerged under the water that you can't see. And when you hit it, obviously knock a hole into your hull, or it can create a hazard on a navigable waterway.
Lopez says crews from the St. Joe Station helped to evacuate people from Royalton Township yesterday. He thinks everything went smoothly because of the strong partnerships that local responding agencies have with each other. The United Way of Southwest Michigan is already looking at the long-term needs of Berrien and Cass counties when it comes to flood cleanup. United Way of Southwest Michigan President Anna Murphy tells us that's why the organization's teamed up with the Berrien Community Foundation for a disaster relief fund. Money donated to the disaster relief fund will go into a fund held by the Berrien Community Foundation and then to the American Red Cross of Southwest Michigan. All money will stay local.
The dollars will be raised through the portal that United Way has set up. The dollars will not be released to American Red Cross until we know exactly what they're going to be using them for. And then they have to stay in Berrien or Cass County. It's Southwest Michigan. It's our service area. And then they'll have to do some pretty diligent reporting back to us before the dollars are released.
You can donate to the fund at the United Way's website. We also have a link at WSJM.com. You can send a text message, or you can send the text message UWSM Relief to 51555. That will bring up a web page where you can make a donation. The Niles Salvation Army doing what it can to help out with those displaced by flooding. Niles Lieutenant Joseph Hixenbaugh tells us volunteers are out and about, also thinking about what they have to do next.
Currently, we are assisting feeding people at the shelter in Berrien Springs at the middle school, and we are also have flood kits available, and we are working with city officials as to what's going to happen when the floodwaters recede and how we best can help the communities affected.
The flood kits include buckets, mops, heavy-duty soap for post-flood cleanup. Hixenbaugh says the Salvation Army could use donations of non-perishable items, food and money. You can drop either off at the Niles Salvation Army office, or you could mail them a check. We will have the address at WSJM.com. Legislation supported by State Representative Kim Lasada is designed to pave the way for smoother large events like the Senior PGA Championship. She tells us the bill that passed the House this week would enable vendors at PGA golf tournaments in Michigan to apply for a national sporting event liquor license so that local venues don't have to get those licenses themselves.
Right now, Harbor Shores would have to get a temporary liquor license. But because of it being the PGA Senior Championship, the PGA will have this license already in place. So wherever the PGA has an event, they will have, you would think of it as like a traveling liquor license with them.
Lasada tells us that would mean one less thing to worry about for Harbor Shores this year. Michigan will host 2 PGA Tour Championship tournaments this year. The second one will be in Grand Blanc. The bill in question would only apply for a few years into the future. It now goes on to the state Senate. Making English the official language of Michigan is what the State House has voted to do. Here's Charlotte Republican Tom Barrett, who sponsored the measures which passed yesterday.
We have 150 languages estimated spoken in Michigan today. I agree that we have a very diverse state, but don't you think that diversity with no shared values, experiences, or commonality drives us deeper and deeper into our corners and our silos?
The bill would require English to be used in public records, but state departments and local governments could still publish documents in other languages as well. The bill passed largely along party lines. And Southwest Michigan's housing market took a step back in the month of January. Southwest Michigan Association of Realtors tells us it's not unusual for January to be the least productive month of any given year, and that appears to be what 2018 is shaping up to be. Home sales in the region were down 30% from December. Looking year to year, the association says Southwest Michigan home sales in January were down 6% from January of last year. The organization tells us the shrinking inventory faced by the region could have contributed to the decline. It notes the number of available houses in January was at its lowest point in 13 years. The WSJM News now continues with your Hilliard Lions report.
Recap. Closing stock prices of local interest for Friday, February 23rd. The NASDAQ Composite Index rallied on Friday, capping a curious week for the technology-laden index that placed it a mere 2.2% from its all-time high set on January 26th. The NASDAQ Composite ended the session up 127 points to 7,337. That represents a roughly 8.3% gain over 10 trading sessions for the benchmark, which is viewed as a proxy for risk appetite on Wall Street, since it tumbled into correction territory on February 8th, along with the Dow Jones Industrial Average and S&P 500 Index. A correction is typically defined as a drop of at least 10% from a recent high. The Dow and S&P 500 also were recovering sharply, but the NASDAQ has been outperforming both of its peers, even after making a four-day losing stretch on Thursday, its longest skid since November 4th of 2016. AEP closed up 42 cents to $67.37. Apple was $175.50, up $3. UPS was up 54 cents to close at $105.62. Chemical Financial was $56.93, up 85 cents. And Whirlpool finished up $2.90 to close at $171.38. Hilliard Lyons has been voted the 2017 Reader's Choice Award for Best Financial Planning Firm in Southwest Michigan.
WSJM News Now continues. President Trump spoke to the largest gathering of conservatives today at the Conservative Political Action Conference. Here's ABC's Serena Marshall.
It wasn't a campaign rally, but for all intents and purposes, it could have been. President Trump addressing the annual Conservative Action Political Conference and going off script, feeding off the ecstatic crowd.
By the way, you don't mind if I go off script a little bit, because, you know, it's sort of boring.
While he touted his accomplishments, including a Supreme Court nominee and tax cuts, he also addressed gun violence and reiterated his call to have concealed carry in some schools. Serena Marshall, ABC News from CPAC.
President Trump blames a broken security clearance system for his son-in-law still working with a temporary clearance that he may soon lose. ABC's Andy Field has details.
Mr. Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner's, worked for more than a year without a permanent security clearance, and now Chief of Staff John Kelly threatening to end Kushner's and other aides' access to top-secret information.
I will let General Kelly make that decision.
The president praising his son-in-law's work on Middle East peace, reminding people that Kushner is working for free. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
The president's former campaign aide, Rick Gates, pleading guilty today to charges brought by the special counsel in the Russia investigation. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more.
Rick Gates pleaded guilty to conspiring with his one-time partner in business and in the Trump campaign, Paul Manafort, to send millions overseas. The special counsel said neither man paid taxes on that income for their consulting work in Ukraine. Gates also pleaded guilty to a charge of lying to investigators, but agreed now to cooperate in the ongoing special counsel probe. Gates is the fifth publicly known defendant to plead guilty and the third Trump campaign figure after Mike Flynn and George Papadopoulos.
U.S. companies taking a closer look at investments, co-branding deals, and other ties to the gun industry, as well as its public face, the National Rifle Association. That's after the latest school massacre. Boycott petitions are circulating online for companies that offer discounts to NRA members, and Hashtag boycott NRA is now trending on Twitter. For 2 days, companies have been distancing themselves from the NRA and asking questions of gun makers. Vice President Mike Pence says it would happen before the end of the year, but U.S. officials tell ABC News the embassy is set to move to Jerusalem in Israel in just 2 months. That will be in May. Israeli media first broke the story. White House has not officially commented yet. Here's ABC's Jordana Miller from Jerusalem.
ABC News has confirmed the U.S. Embassy will begin the first phase of its move from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem in May. Israeli reports say it will happen on May 14th to coincide with the 70th anniversary of Israel's independence. U.S. officials tell us the embassy will initially be located in part of the U.S. consular building here in Jerusalem in the Arnona neighborhood. After security upgrades, U.S. Ambassador David Friedman and a small team will begin working out of Jerusalem in May as plans progress for the permanent embassy building. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
Major League Baseball honoring victims of the Florida shooting by wearing caps with the school's initials. Marjorie Stone at Douglas High School. Baseball coach Todd Fitzgerald and his sons were guests of the Houston Astros for their spring opener against the Washington Nationals today. The rest of the Stoneman Douglas baseball team and the school softball team spent time with the Miami Marlins before their game against St. Louis. She was adamant that she had a right to fly the stars and bars in front of her house. Then she realized maybe she didn't. Maybe she's Sherry Preston as a story.
For years, Annie Cadell from Somerville, South Carolina, had fought with her neighbors about the Confederate flag she insisted should fly in front of her home. She lived in a mostly black community, even though those who lived nearby had put up fences and protested, even signing a petition a few years ago trying to get her to take it down, said she didn't care. Then Annie had a heart attack and triple bypass surgery, and that change in her heart seems to have changed her heart. Annie Cadell apologized to her neighbors, took down the flag, and replaced it with a South Carolina state flag, which she says honors her new heritage, unity. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
And there's no surprise but it'll dominate at the box office this weekend. Here's ABC's Jason Nathanson.
Another major milestone for Black Panther.
How much more are you hiding?
The Marvel movie crossed the $500 million mark Thursday at the worldwide box office, did it in just 9 days. Black Panther will rule for a second straight weekend at the box office, where it could bring in another $100 million or so. Three new movies opening this weekend, the action comedy Game Night, the sci-fi epic Annihilation, and the teen drama Every Day. Game Night is expected to earn the most of the new bunch. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
WSJM News now continues with your weather forecast, brought to you by Comfort Keepers of Southwest Michigan, serving Berrien, Cass, and Van Buren counties. Compatible, compassionate, comfortable care at home.